All right, we're going to play this video. We've been talking about misunderstood scriptures. And so one thing I just want to was set in our minds, if you listen to this and you're like, well, I've never read the scripture that way, that's okay. But this study, they did, the McDowells did a study that just talked about certain scriptures that were just kind of used in a way that they weren't quite meant. It just helps us understand the word. But the beautiful part about this message is, this is one of the best examples I've ever seen of what it means to understand the entire context. So we're going to put a scripture up there. You're going to hear about it. But then we're going to read through Colossians and basically the good part of chapter 3 to help us understand. When you want to know what the Bible says, what does it say before and after? Some of us, we just want a verse to work. So we just grab this verse and sometimes we can make it work. But there's a meaning in that verse, and that meaning is for us, it's for our lives to live it out. So to understand what is the Bible really saying, we have to look at the actual context, the verses around that. Amen? All right, here we go.
Top 10 most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Number 4, Colossians 3:15, where Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Now, why is this so misunderstood? Well, when I was in college, I went to lunch with a university president, which was a cool opportunity, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I remember asking him, I said, "How do you know God's will for your life?" He said a few things. He said, "If you have the desire and you have the opportunity, and you have peace, then you know it's God's will." So I remember following up with this idea of peace and came across this verse in Colossians 3:15 that says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And I realized that the way this verse is often taken is, if you're trying to find God's will between A and B, which one do you have peace about is what rules in your heart and tells you option A versus option B. Well, that sounds nice if we want to know God's will, like if you're on an Easter egg hunt in that fashion. But if you go to the context, I don't think that's what Paul is saying. I think in the context of Colossians, what Paul is saying, as the people of God, choose to be people that are going to make decisions that lead to peace. So rather than peace being a sign of what God's will is for a decision, he's saying, may Christians be characterized by the principle of peace. So there might be multiple options that bring peace, but this is not a hint in terms of God telling us secretly what his hidden will is. By the way, sometimes we can have peace about doing things that are wrong, and we can lack peace about doing things that are right. And think about sharing your faith with somebody. Do you always have peace about it? You know it's right, but there can be an unsettling feeling in your stomach, like, what if somebody asks me something I don't have an answer to? And ultimately, God wants us to have peace in our life, which comes from knowing God personally. But the Bible doesn't teach, and Colossians 3:15 doesn't say, when you're trying to decide where you go to college or if you buy a home or not, or your profession, that whichever one you have peace about, that's God's will. The Bible doesn't teach that.
You ever felt peace about something that later you're like, what was I thinking? When you think about peace, and he nailed it, there are things in the Word of God that will lead us towards that. And so that's simply what I want us to understand. What was it, a week or two ago, my dad and I went to look at a car. He was looking at this car. It was kind of what he wanted. The pictures look phenomenal. And so we go and we look at it. And up front, it wasn't quite, I mean, it still had potential, but it wasn't quite what dad thought. But they go for a drive. He comes back. He makes a deal, gets the guy down a bit. And so it was just kind of a word of mouth deal at this point. We're driving home, and as we're talking about this car and kind of what it would need, I could tell the deal that was made, dad was like, the peace was kind of flittering away because this isn't going to add up at the end of the day. And because of that, he makes a phone call and says, hey, I don't think this is going to work out. And so sometimes when you look at a situation, it seems like, hey, I have a piece about this. It doesn't always settle in. And that's his point. Peace is something that's much deeper than just a feeling. So listen to this. So it starts out, Colossians 3:15, this is the verse that he spoke on. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now, 3:15 in these study notes, it says the word rule comes from the language of athletics. Paul tells us to let Christ's peace be an umpire. So the umpire calls the strikes and the balls, and you have to go by what he said because he had the best view of what's going on. Let him be the umpire or referee in our heart. Our heart is the center of conflict because there are feelings and desires that can clash. Our fears and hopes, distrust and trust, jealousy and love. How can we deal with these constant conflicts and live as God wants? Paul explains that we must decide between conflicting elements by using the rule of peace. Which choice will promote peace in our souls and in our churches? So what I want to walk you through is the context of the passage. So we're going to use 16 verses to help us understand this, and we're going to do it together. And so as you study, as you're in the Word of God, this is just a way you can think, hey, I'm struggling with this. And so you can use like study notes that the Bible gives you. You can, but more importantly, just use before and after to understand. So let's start here. What produces peace? Now, you're reading ahead, that's okay. But I'm going to read something, the very start, and I'm going to read a note on it. It's going to throw you. Are you ready? Chapter 3, verse 1. So we're starting just a few verses back. Since you have been raised to new life, so he's talking to the church of Colossae. They've accepted Jesus Christ. They were living of the world, but now they have an understanding of Jesus, what he stood for, and the basically the rules that we're going to live by and why. You have been raised to new life with Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Does that sound easy? Any of you just say, what? I did. I'm reading this 3-4 times. Okay, God, I don't get it. I'm just living this life. I'm thinking about heaven, thinking good, flowery thoughts, you know. What are you talking about? Listen to the way that's explained here. Setting our sights on the realities of heaven means striving to put heaven's priorities into daily practice. Letting heaven fill our thoughts means concentrating on the eternal rather than the temporal. Paul exposed the wrong reasons for self-denial. In chapter 3, he explains true Christian behavior. Putting on new nature by accepting Christ and regarding the earthly nature as dead. Now listen to this. We change our moral and ethical behavior by letting Christ live within us so that he can shape us into what we should be. So when Christ is now your Savior, there is a change of our morality and our ethics. And so the world has plumbed a bunch of things into our minds, but yet we're supposed to live by Christ. So this word has everything to do with the direction that we've been asked to live. And so we've been empowered. God didn't ask us to do something that we can't do. We've been empowered by his Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, I am leaving with you my comforter, my Holy Spirit. And that is that spirit within you that gives you the power to have what we're about to talk about. And so this is what produces peace. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, isn't that a beautiful feeling? That you're chosen, you matter, you mean so much that God has prepared a place for you. And not only that, he's given you the ability to know truth in a way to speak it out and to direct others. Since God has chosen you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Sound easy? So if you think back to what we just read, to put your mind on heavenly thoughts and the morality and the ethics of heaven, we realize that Jesus was given for us, that God had a plan, that he has an eternity for us. And so our life on earth is to live for Christ and not get so wrapped up in rights and wrongs and how we were treated, because this verse 3:15 actually is talking about the church. Matter of fact, let me back up here. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, we're talking about the church here, we're talking about believers, you are called to live in peace. Isn't it odd that as believers, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Lord, and we know that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and we know that there's a Bible that's been given to us, how often we can disagree, even to the point of separation, because of different ways and different... And I am learning so much about this just through what life has been walking me through. We think differently, but there is one way. But God knows how we think, because he says he knows our minds. He knows our thoughts. He knows the words on our lips before we speak them in Psalms 139. So he understands that. So there is a way to live in peace because God says that there is. But sometimes we get our mind off of heaven and onto earth and rights and wrongs and offenses and who did what to what and how that was unfair and why don't you see it my way? And that can create a conflict within people who actually believe in the truth and the way and the life, which is Jesus Christ. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Other ways to produce peace. It says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Now, what kind of love are we talking about? It's called an unconditional love. It's the very love that Jesus used when he died on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him off of that. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, if you want to pull this cup for me, I'm good with it. Because his nature was looking at this saying, I don't know that I want to go through this, but God, your will, not mine, be done. And so this love that comes from Christ, we have the ability through the Holy Spirit to clothe ourselves with that kind of love, to look at someone and have a passion for them, even when we're not seeing eye to eye. Even when they're going in a direction that's like, man, that is the wrong way. So do we love on them as opposed to let the peace just go out and just create a divide or build a wall? Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So do you understand in describing this verse, we just read that, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace. But now we back up and we understand how that's even possible. It's possible because there is a tender-hearted mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience that comes from Christ when we live with his morality and his ethics as opposed to the world's. We have to keep our mind and our sights on heaven. Now, there's also warnings that comes in the same chapter. So what steals peace from us? Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Keep in mind, again, he's talking to Christians, the Church of Colossus. They've come from the world. We all have our struggles. But to try to walk that fine line, it brings that verse to mind where Jesus says, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. What does he do to lukewarmness? I will spew you out of my mouth. What do you do when you spit things out of your mouth? Do you do it because that was the greatest tasting thing I've ever had in the world? I'm going to spit it out. No, it's like, I want nothing to do with this. Or even if you're sick and you're throwing up, those things that are spewing out is this sickness and this garbage that needs to get out of you. It's disrupt your entire system. Put to death those things, because those things don't live with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They don't show the things of heaven. They don't mirror the very things that introduce people to, man, this is what love and forgiveness and grace is all about. This is the love of Jesus Christ. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. The idolater is basically anything that is an idol in your life that is placed above. So if you're not focusing on heaven and you're focusing on earth, it's a lot of what you want, what you think is going to make you happy, and it's about you. Now, how many times did I just name someone else in that? No, I said you three times, because our focus becomes singularly and inwardly, and we're worried about us. There's nothing about Jesus that fits that description. Jesus was so selfless. His death on the cross didn't get him to heaven. He was already there. That was all about us. So he's calling us to live with a heavenly-minded life, with those morals, with those ethics of the Word of God, in order to point people in a direction. And those people will see that through tender-heartedness, through mercy, through gentleness, through a love. It's not an accepting that says, hey, I love you so much, whatever you do, whatever you think is right. That's not the truth. There is a right, but we can love people into the truth. We can help them understand there is a grace. And so separation comes when we allow peace to leave the relationship. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, or malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature, and it's all wicked deeds, and all of its wicked deeds. Anyone ever lie? Anyone ever lie yesterday? You ever tell something that as soon as you're done, you're like, yeah, it wasn't really the truth, but so I wanted them to believe. Sometimes lying is just, it's such a natural thing, because we have this way of wanting people to believe a certain thing. And so it's kind of this little tricky thing that kind of gets in there, and that Satan can actually grow into something quite deceitful and quite ugly. That can steal peace when a situation lacks truth. We need to know how we feel in order to get to the bottom of a situation, and we need to communicate. Husbands, wives, if you're out there and you're struggling, there's a really good chance that your level of communication isn't there, because one person knows that there's a place I can go where you won't accept it, and the other person may be the same. I just can't go there. I just can't talk, because this is going to happen. If you want two people to have a complete understanding of each other, it's complete and absolute truth. And guess what? I am not perfect. Did you know that about me? Can anyone look up here and say, man, you must be the most wonderful person to be married to? If only, right? My wife could sit you down and say, here's situations where Matt struggles, where I have to kind of pull him back in. Now, and the beautiful thing about our relationship, and it causes a fair amount of arguments, is the amount of honesty. Because if the very person that I live with and knows the most can't tell me where I'm getting it wrong, and I can't accept that, then they're allowing me to get it wrong around other people. And so it takes, you want a close friend that loves you dearly, the best friend in your life will sometimes be one of the most uncomfortable people in your life. Because it's hard to say, hey, there's a struggle, and I'm seeing it, and I love you, and I'm not doing this out of spite. But in this area, I think you mishandled it. You might rethink the way that you talk to them and maybe what your point was. And that's hard to say. But if we don't hear that stuff, how do we get it right? And how does peace ever come into a situation if I'm allowed to react wrong constantly in a situation? So peace is not just a little flowery, oh, we'll all just get along. Peace is a lot of work. It's getting right down into the pit, into the mud, into the truth, and understanding, hey, we need to get this right. And so to get there, sometimes you ruffle a whole lot of feathers. But if your love for Christ is bigger than your love for yourself, you get there. And then that peace, it does actually transcend. I mean, it's beyond any understanding the peace of Christ is. It's the most beautiful thing. And I've told you before, just in lifestyles or a lifestyle I led, that I was allowing sin in, I didn't realize the weight and the lift of sin until I got peace, until I had that lifestyle out in the open, until I could deal with it and talk with it and run from Satan in that area. Man, there was a feeling you just can't explain. A weight that's gone, a deceitful feeling that's gone, an ugliness, an impurity in your heart and your mind about who you are, it's gone. Because that's the power of holy peace. That's the power of Jesus Christ. It is an amazing thing. And yes, it's a fair amount of work and openness and what's the word? When you're very open. Trans. Yeah, thank you so much. Just transparency. God can work through that. So the things that steal peace, we need to be aware of those things. And we need to get rid of those things. Because what do? I just gave you the answer. They steal your peace. You can't. It's like walking on two sides of the fence. It's not impossible. It's the whole, the spitting out of the mouth is because God's saying, you're saying one thing and living another. You're sending out just a confusing message. Man, be hot on fire for God or hate my guts. Choose one. But that middle ground is the worst. And so I love this. So we talk about the positives about peace, then we talk about the negatives, and then this verse just nails it. Put on your new nature. Be heaven-minded. Don't live for this earth. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's a process. As I look out, I see many Christians who have been Christians for longer than I've been alive, and you're still on the road. It's still a process of knowing our Creator, of understanding the Word of God. Be in this Word. Make this a part of your daily life, to understand it, to allow it to just harvest within you, so that when you live, it just comes out. And that peace is real, and it works, and it's a beautiful thing. I saw this on a site I looked up, and this verse, I don't want to pull it out of context. This verse was talking about members of the church, people who are born again Christians, and really keeping peace with each other. But this power of the Holy Spirit works in the world as well. So world peace, the lack of conflict between nations is world peace. So the less conflict you have between nations, that's peace. Inner personal peace is really what we're talking about now. It's the lack of conflict between people. Inner peace is a lack of conflict within a person. Now, real quickly, who can allow the state of this world to steal your peace? If you just flick the news on and just let that pour into your mind. What can you do about it, nation to nation? What can you do about Russia and Ukraine? What can you do about Republicans and Democrats and just a constant and bickering and fighting? What can you guys actually do about that? That's about it. You give it, I shouldn't even say it that way, yes. You give it to God. But can that steal your peace when you convince yourself that I can't do anything about this? It's getting worse. Now this is going to happen, and this political party wants this rule, and that's going to happen. It robs you of your peace. And so when it comes to real peace, interpersonal peace, inner peace, those things are real and they're important, but none of it works without this. The most pressing need for any individual is the peace with God. When you comprehend who God is, who He is in your life, that He is on the throne, that as we talked about last week, He has placed the authorities in place. We have been called to honor our authorities. I can live with that because I know God has it. It's not up to Matt to fix it. It's not up to me, to allow Satan to allow it to rule my mind and put a bitterness within me that really changes the way that I act because I just can't control what's going on, but I want to so badly. God, you have it. My peace is in you. I just want to serve you. I want to serve your son to the best of my ability. I want to pay attention to those things that you want me to have, that love and that humility of heart and just that tender-heartedness towards others. And God, help me to run from the sin and the malicious lifestyles and the lust of the mind and the lying and the greed. So God, may the sin flee, but may the power of the Holy Spirit work through me, through the positives of peace. When we look at it that way, we fully understand this verse. As I back all the way up. Let the peace that comes from Christ, tenderhearted love, mercy, let that peace rule in your hearts. Let that be the rule that we live by. For as members of one body, which is the body of Jesus Christ, which means we have asked Christ to come into our hearts, you are called to live in that peace. It's that calling and living in that peace that spreads the good news of Jesus Christ. Because they're seeing the true grace and love and compassion of Jesus versus the world. And always be thankful. So Christ's peace is available to every believer, but we have to make a choice to allow his peace to rule in our hearts. And that is up to us. We have a choice. Or we can give excuses to the end of the day. But I was right. Until they can see it my way, this can't get resolved. So God, be with them. Change their hearts. Change their minds. I've prayed that prayer. And I don't think it was right. I think I had to be corrected. Lord God, you know that we're going through some difficult times. You know that we're not seeing eye to eye. I just want to do what's right for you. So give me a humility for them. Give me a love for them. Break my heart for their mind and what it's going through. And God, may they have a grace for me and my shortcomings. And may this relationship work out. See, that totally goes away from this is right, this is wrong. God had compassion for people who were wrong. He sent his son for people who were wrong. Jesus died for people who were wrong. And so peace doesn't have to be, hey, we finally totally agree now on this situation. Who works or sees people on a daily basis that you agree on spiritually, politically, morally? Raise your hand. I get along with people every day of my life and love them and know about them and their families. And there's most things that we do not agree on because there's a peace that Christ has given me just to love on them in hopes that they will see Jesus Christ through my actions. So Christ's peace is available to every believer, but we have to make the choice to allow his peace to rule in our hearts, even in the most difficult of circumstances and relationships. So, Father, I pray right now, we are all people, we are all in relationships. May this verse grab hold. May we live in a peace. May we walk, dear God, in your love. May we make the corrections that need to be made. May the very conviction that lays on our hearts, may we answer that by saying, God, I just want what you want. May we be willing to be selfless, to realize that peace in a relationship is more important than maybe our self-worth of needing to be right. May we remove our minds, dear God, from us being at times the most important, realizing, God, you have given me a heart and your word even says that we're supposed to love others. Matter of fact, it's one of the greatest commandments. So God, may we work on that peace by working on the relationship with you. As your word says, the closer we are to you, the more we understand you, the more we'll be like you. So may we be in your word. May we be understanding of it. May we be following it and taking even the things in our lives that, was, hey, this doesn't add up to the word of God, and ridding them. May the things that steal peace in our lives, God help us. give us people who will help us in accountability. May we be transparent. May we be open, saying, this is robbing me of my peace. I need to get rid of it. God, take it from me. May we not believe Satan in the fact that saying, oh, you don't want to do that. Boy, you'll be embarrassed. You'll be looked down upon because you're a sinner. We're all sinners. God, help us to be honest with ourselves. Right now, I just want to pray. Any of you say right now, I'm struggling with peace because I'm struggling with where I am at. You just raise your hand. I just want to pray over you. It's just honesty. I see those hands. Praise God. Father, right now, Lord, have your Holy Spirit. Walk them through the process of forgiveness. Walk us through the process of realizing that we are yours. We are in your hands. We are magnificent beings. We are masterpieces of your creation. And you love us. And you are tenderhearted with us. And you have mercy for us. So break our hearts in the direction, dear God, of people. Help us to see them as your children that you love. Help us to see them as someone who we can love. So I pray for each and every hand that was raised and those that know they should have. Guard our hearts, direct us toward your word, and allow us to be teachable. Help us to bring peace in the situations where we may be the one person keeping it from happening. We pray all this in your name. You are God. You are all powerful. You can do all things. And that's who we pray to. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.